Lord Vader, Operation Andor is underway.
Excellent. If we release 3 episodes per week, the Lorehounds will never be able to cover every episode. The Imperial forces will crush the rebellion before it begins.
Stand by. We're picking up something on our scanners.
Echo Squadron, reporting in.
Delta Squadron, on your left.
Django Squadron, on your 6.
With Imperial forces coming in fast, we're calling all Rebels to join the fight this season. Starting after the April 22nd premiere, you'll hear 3 full breakdowns for each week's episodes of Andor Season 2. Each podcast will be led by one of our squadron leaders, Alicia, David, and John. We'll be bringing in new and familiar voices to fill out the roster. Search for the Lorehounds on any podcast platform to join us in a galaxy far, far away. And don't forget to check out our season pass for even more content like our Holocron bonus pods. It's good news for anyone, except Darth Vader.
Welcome back to the Radioactive Ramblings podcast, the show where 3 buddies get together and ramble about our favorite shows, movies, video games, and we always struggle to stay on topic. I'm one of your hosts, Aaron.
And I'm your other host for today, Richard. Chase could not be with us today, but he will be here for the finale. We swear by that.
Yeah, I mean, if he makes it back.
If he makes it back. What are you implying, Aaron? What are you going to do to him?
I have plans that I can't share with you right now.
Wow.
Just know that things are in motion. But anyways, right. If you like what we do here, consider supporting us on Patreon to get early and ad-free access to all of our content. Richard, you want to let people know how they can get a hold of us?
I would love to. You know, this is what I do here. There's a slew of ways to keep in contact with us, the first of which is going to be our email, radioactive@thelorehounds.com. We also, of course, have our channel in the Lorehounds Discord server called Radioactive Ramblings. You can send us a message, chat about the show. I don't know, thwart Aaron's plot for whatever Chase, or to stop Chase from coming home. I don't know.
You don't have time to stop it.
Oh, okay. Things are already too far in motion.
Exactly.
Wow. Consider giving us a follow on Blue Sky at Radioactive141 or on our brand new TikTok, Radioactive Ramblings. And please leave us a rating on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Audible, wherever you listen to us. It just helps other people, other listeners like you, find us.
Yeah. And today, we're going to be talking about Invincible Season 3, Episode 7, titled, What Have I Done? And Richard, what have you done?
What have I done? I've been reading, well, not reading, I've been listening to Sun Eater. That's really okay. All I've done the last, like, week or two. What about you, Aaron?
You know, yesterday it was really nice outside, and so I went and read a little bit more of our Red Rising trilogy outside yesterday. I was reading a little bit of Morningstar, got a few more chapters in. So
Morningstar is such a goated book. Oh my god.
Slowly chugging along with that. But other than that, I've also been playing Kingdom Come Deliverance and, you know, doing schoolwork, all of that. It's been a eventful time in terms of media. The White Lotus is coming out, Severance is coming out. There's a lot going on.
Yeah, I'm still waiting for either my next Cosmere book to come out, because I'm done for now, or I need Red God like I need air, dude. I need to know. And Pierce Brown is killing me, because he posts on his story, oh yeah, the book is gonna be like, I don't know, 400 pages longer than I originally planned. And that's awesome and great. But then when he follows that up saying that there's many to maim and many to martyr, I don't want to read your book. That scares me.
Yeah. I mean, you could be in the situation that the Game of Thrones fans are in with their
Well, no, Lightbringer only came out like a year and a half ago.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Like, count your blessings. You could be in a bad situation.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, Brandon Sanderson's next book isn't coming out for probably like 3 years because he wants to have all of Mistborn Era 3 written before he releases the first one, which is awesome and great for him. But I just want to know what's happening on Scadrial right now.
Yeah. Well, maybe you can find out. Maybe Angstrom Levy will tell you what's happening in the multiverse.
Right. Unreal. Which
brings me into our first story arc that we're going to be going over. I always structure my outlines differently with going story arc by story arc instead of the big recap at the beginning.
Right.
So today we're going to be starting off with Angstrom Levy's multiversal assaults, which in brief, Angstrom Levy, who has this obsessive vendetta against our Prime Mark, collects a bunch of evil alternate universe versions of Invincible to take his revenge and ruin our Mark's reputation. Richard, what did you think about this whole plotline?
Well, I think, as I put in the outline, Angstrom Levy has ascended again as a hater. Right? Like, he has thrown away the bounds beyond just a few universes and all that. Like, he, again, anyways, I know he did that at the end of the season too, but he's really, really become a hater. And now that he knows he can't handle Mark in a mostly fair fight, he has to resort to cheap tricks with his portals and a nigh endless army of drones. I think. Yeah. Angstrom was great. He's a fantastic villain, and Sterling K. Brown is so good at playing this guy. But I don't like him. He's well written, but I don't like him. If that makes sense.
See, I was hoping for a little bit of closure with his character with this storyline, and it feels like they're opening him up to more, which is fine. I think he's a great character, and I can't complain about seeing more of him. But at the same time, it feels like with all of the other storylines going on, some of these other ones that have been going on since season one might need to start wrapping up a little bit.
Well, we did wrap one up this week.
Don't even bring up the one that got wrapped up in this episode.
Yeah, wrapped up might not be the right word.
Man, that was sad.
Yeah, I know.
We'll get into it, though.
Yeah, oh, we will. What are your thoughts, though, boss man?
I was interested in the whole thing happening where Angstrom is now in service forcibly to these interdimensional cyberpunk surgeons who rescued him from his last encounter with Mark. I mean, these kind of like bug-looking cyberpunk people are rescuing him, and then they are basically controlling him from here on out now that he's lost his gamble against our Mark. I don't know what their deal is. I don't know what their motivations are. I don't know what they're going to use him for. So I assume that we won't get those answers until maybe next season.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to find anything out this season. Like I was telling you in our little like pre-show yap, I don't know what comes next. I have not, like, I'd never read the comics, but from what I knew of the comics, I'm pretty much out of information. I have some theories, of course, and that's that we're going to see more of those stranded marks for sure.
Yeah, I agree. And I think that we might see some of them not be as bad as we thought.
I don't think that's true. I think we're going to see them on some demon shit after they're stranded in that universe.
Maybe. It's true. But one thing I wanted to talk about with this section as well is it seems like Mark is really, and I might be going out of order because I think I wrote this later down the line, but it feels like Mark really needs to just kind of get his shit together. And yeah. He also needs to kind of give up this whole anti-Cecil GDA thing, because he needs to band together with the Guardians if he has any chance of stopping the Viltrumite invasion.
Yeah, I feel like this was kind of what proved it or proved it for a lot of people that are on Mark's side, like at least in the community, that like maybe he needs to kind of grow up, because he still does have that, like, I don't want to say childish sense of morality, because that's where Oliver's at more, but like, what's the word? Idealism. That's the word. He's got that sense of idealism where, like, no, there's no committing evil to stop evil, which is great and all, but in either way, evil remains. Wouldn't you rather have the lesser evil remain?
Yeah. And you see him really taking that stance earlier in the season too with Titan, right? He didn't want to help Titan because he wasn't comfortable picking the lesser of two evils when, I mean, obviously Titan is such a better criminal overlord than Mr. Liu was. He's a much kinder and more community oriented person, but he's still a criminal, and Mark just doesn't fuck with that.
Yeah. I love talking about the lesser of two evils. You know what vibes it gives me, and I'm sure you can agree.
What?
The Witcher.
Yes. It's a big theme in The Witcher. If there is another season of The Witcher coming, which I think there is, we should definitely talk about that. And I know you said that we should talk about that animated movie that came out, and I have not had a chance to watch it yet, but I definitely want to.
I haven't either, dude. I've just been so, like, on the Dexter grind. I'm, like, halfway through the fifth season already. In the last, month and a half, I've been watching it. Such a good show.
Yeah, I've heard nothing but good things. I just finished Attack on Titan, so.
Oh, I know you just, believe me, we're talking about that. I love, oh my god.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to talking about that one. But our next plot line is kind of intertwined with this one, so we could probably just jump right into it, and it's the Invincible War.
Oh, I love the Invincible War. If you don't mind, I can read it.
Yeah, go for it.
Yeah. As Mark grapples with his desire to be a good person, he laments his mistake of sparing Angstrom Levy and has to suffer the consequences of watching some of his closest friends and colleagues get hurt and even die at the hands of evil versions of him.
Yeah.
And I just wanted to start off by saying, I wouldn't keep you as a slave in my empire is a crazy line, right? Like, what fuck?
I know that we've both seen it, but everyone on the internet has just collectively agreed that this is whiny Mark, and they keep putting little propeller hats and giving him a lollipop and making him say shit like, yeah, I wouldn't even invite you to my third birthday party.
I prefer the...
You prefer the Discord server one?
I wouldn't even keep you as a kitten in my Discord server.
Dude, no, I do appreciate that the whole internet has just agreed that this Mark is ridiculous for saying that.
Yeah, but let's talk about all of the different Marks, though. Like, what the hell?
Yeah.
Yeah, we had Omni-Mark, which was the one wearing Omni-Man's suit. We had, like, two or three Viltrumite Marks. One of the Marks had, like, the Flaxen tech on him, like the aliens from the first season that had like the alternate dimension with a different like timeline to it or time scale.
Okay.
And that's when Omni-Man like destroyed their entire civilization. Okay. You remember what I'm talking about? Kind of.
I kind of vaguely remember. It's been a really long time since I've seen season one, but I remember it a little bit. Yeah.
Yeah. It looked like the same armor. So I'm assuming it's like Flaxen Mark. I'm going to call him that until someone tells me to shut up, I guess.
Yeah.
We had, like, No Mask Invincible, who was the one who was like, oh, I miss William, which, real, William's a goat.
William is a goat. At bowling, too.
At bowling. Yeah, he was out bowling the entire Invincible War.
Hopefully he was.
I wouldn't doubt it, honestly. What's his fate? Mohawk Mark was on some shit.
Oh, Mohawk Vincible, as the subtitles called him.
I preferred Cape Vincible. I think that's like the most insane I've heard Steven Yeun's voice. Like when they get stranded and he just screams at Angstrom.
Yeah.
Steven Yeun was on some shit this episode. I loved it.
The, you know, swearing doesn't make you cool line was also really good.
Yeah. I think that was Omni-Mark, right?
It was, which is so perfect because that's such a Nolan thing to say.
Yeah. So yeah, those were really my thoughts. I obviously very reminiscent of D. Bradley Baker from his portrayal of 50 different clones in the Clone Wars show.
Yeah.
I like shit like that. It's cool.
Yeah. I'm glad you brought that up because I didn't even think about that connection. And now I'm looking back on like the Bad Batch where you have all of the really unique clones and like looking back at the main Clone Wars series where you had Rex and all these other fellas who had their own distinct personalities despite it being the same voice actor. So it's amazing what some voice actors are able to do. And
yeah.
I don't think that we give voice actors enough credit for how difficult it can be to portray that many people because they're quite often doing more than one character at a time.
Yeah, that's my same thing with like, obviously I gotta yap about this for a sec, but like
yeah.
I listen to audiobooks and I can tell who's speaking by the voice that the person does, right? I just finished the Mistborn trilogy, or the not Mistborn trilogy, the second era of Mistborn. And those books, there's, I'd say, like, I don't know, probably like 8 or 9 characters that are constantly talking, and they each have a different voice, like tone, cadence, intonation, everything is different. And I think that's really cool, and that's what this reminded me of.
No, I agree. Should we talk a little bit about the new heroes that showed up at different points during this episode?
Oh, you mean my goat business baby?
That's exactly who I wanted to talk about first, so I'm glad we're on the same page here. I just couldn't get over this little kid shows up riding on a clone of Monster Girl and is just doing tricks, like going crazy, rolling around, kicking and fucking punching. And then Mark punches the fucking Monster Girl clone. And Business Baby gets crushed. Wow. And
not my goat.
You know, Business Baby was in season one.
What?
Yeah. I saw this on TikTok that there was a shot where Business Baby was walking along holding hands with that thing at like GDA headquarters or something.
Oh, that's funny. I actually saw a clip, well, a few different clips off TikTok. I guess you remember the criminals that had their little silent, I don't even know what to call it, like that sequence that at the start of the one episode this season?
Yeah.
They were in season 1 and 2.
Wow.
See, last season, like yeah, I don't remember what they were last season, because I only saw, you know, like I said, clips on TikTok, but, oh, they might have been in like the Karma Police montage when Mark was just like kind of out doing stuff.
Yeah,
that might have been where they were. But then I know that they were with Machine Head and Titan in the first episode or first season.
Okay, interesting. That's really cool. I just love when shows drop those little breadcrumbs, or when you go back to rewatch a series, you see all these Easter eggs till later. And it just makes it more rewarding for us as viewers to go back.
Yeah, that's why I'm glad I reread the prologue of the first Stormlight book after finishing the series, just because there was a lot more going on in the prologue than you know at the time when you're reading it for the first time. And, you know, I went back through and I realized, like, holy shit, all of these characters that are super important to the world were right there, described the same way that they're described in the next 5 books, and I just didn't notice it at all, and that was really cool to cover, I guess.
Yeah, that's awesome. Another thing in this Invincible War of ours, my condolences go out to Shrink Ray, and we're very sorry that Rex exploded. Rest in peace.
Yeah. You know, he would have liked that joke, though. I think that makes up for it.
He definitely would have thought it was funny.
Yeah, I knew something was going to happen when he was talking last episode about like how Rexplode is his actual identity.
Yeah.
You know, whenever a character that just came out of a redemption arc starts talking about their past, and they seem like they're kind of resolving their shit. You know what's about to happen.
I had this later in my notes, but I think that now is an appropriate time to go over this. There was a really good song included in Rex's death. Do you know what it was?
What song was it? I remember hearing it, but I don't remember what it was, if that makes sense.
Yeah, it was When the Party's Over by Billie Eilish. And yeah, are you a Billie Eilish enjoyer from time to time? I don't think that you're a super fan, but I don't know. What
definitely not a super fan, but like I like some of her stuff. You know, it's like how I am with anything that isn't metal. I like it. Like I listen to Katy Perry and Pitbull and whatever sometimes.
Right.
I love international.
I'm a Billie Eilish fan. I'm not a crazy Billie Eilish fan.
Yeah.
Like I really enjoy her music. I think that she's doing a lot of interesting things and pushing a lot of boundaries, so that's cool.
Yeah.
But I don't know a lot of her songs by name. That's just the nature of my relationship to music, though, is I don't really know song names. I don't know artists that well. I listen to the same songs on repeat for 5 years.
I'm like very into the bands that I listen to, as you know. I mean, my favorite band, as you know, and as everyone else is about to know, is Motionless in White. I have seen them 5 times live, I think, now. They're like a screamo, well, I shouldn't say screamo, because that's not like the actual genre name, but to people that don't listen to metal, they would call Motionless in White screamo. So I'm going to simplify it to that for now, but great band. If you like metal songs that aren't just screaming, they have some great vocals, and I would love to see some Motionless in White Love in any show ever. It's never going to happen.
I know you're watching Dexter. Doesn't Dexter have some like metal needle drops at some points? Yeah.
Metal, well, not in the show, but a few different bands have like things relating to Dexter, and Motionless in White, actually, on their third album, they have a song called Dark Passenger, which is like about Dexter. Great song, great performance live. I got to see it on Halloween, and that was cool.
That is very cool. That's a good time to see it on Halloween.
Dude, it was the 10th anniversary of that album, and that's when they started doing like, I don't know, kind of having like spooky vibes in their music. So it was cool.
Oh yeah, Billie Eilish. Wait, When the Party's Over. So that's Rexplode's death song. Sorry, I got a little distracted thinking about music in general.
I got allowed to talk about music, all right? That was completely my bad. I love going off on music tangents.
I did clip a little snippet of Billie Eilish's song, not an audio clip, but I took a little bit of the lyrics and I'm going to read them. Don't you know I'm no good for you? I've learned to lose you, can't afford to. That to me feels like Rex talking to Ray as he's dying.
Yeah. That I think I would have done better without knowing that those were the exact words said. That makes me sad.
Yeah, I especially knowing how far Rex has come as a person since his near-death experience and the way he still views himself as having done all these awful things, but he's trying to enjoy his life to the fullest. He's trying to make amends for all the shitty stuff that he's done, which it's funny. I feel that usually when we talk about a character like this in the context of a comic book, when we talk about atoning for your misdeeds, it's usually like a supervillain turning into a hero or an anti-hero. But here it's just a conflicted person who was doing a lot of shitty things but was always a hero, becoming a better person. And I don't know why, but that more human aspect of it makes it hurt a lot more.
I hate redemption arcs. They make me like the character too much.
And then they fucking die. So sad. Yep. Mark and Cecil also make up a little bit in this episode, but not enough. You know, Mark is still being pretty stubborn, but it seems like the things that Cecil was being stubborn about, like his overprotectiveness when it comes to Mark and sort of the whole Reanimen stuff and all of that, I do feel that he's softening and coming to a place that he needs to be in order to have that working relationship with Mark. And right. Mark is just not ready to be there.
Yeah, I think maybe by the start of next season, maybe he'll start to be there. I think given what happened at the end of this episode, I guess we gotta see how it plays out this coming week. But I think that the whole conquest thing is going to hopefully get them a lot closer to making up.
Yeah.
I also have a theory.
Yeah, go ahead.
Brought up the Reanimin. Do you think we might get a Viltrumite Reanimin with one of the Mark's corpses? Or maybe multiple, even?
That's really interesting. See,
like, that would be crazy.
I feel like I don't know enough about how the Reanimin work and how Viltrumite biology works to where, like, even if they did bring back a Mark as a Reanimin, would the Reanimin have those powers? Like, I don't know, but that would be so interesting if Cecil just now had access to multiple Reanimin Marks.
Right?
That would be crazy.
Yeah, I think it'd be interesting. And I really do think that, because I feel like the two main Marks from the war that got stranded and survived are the Cape Mark and Mohawk Mark. I feel like those are going to be our two big players moving forward if we see more of that group.
Yeah.
And I think that if those two come back, having the Rihanna Marks, yeah, we're going with that. The Rihanna Marks would be a huge boon for taking down those two crazy-ass psychos.
Yeah, it seems like the alternate universe Marks are also a fair bit weaker than our Mark is.
Yeah, because they just haven't been through as much. Granted, our Mark has been through so much more because he decides to hold back, and that kind of blows up in his face a lot. But yeah. I think that him holding back is obviously what makes him our Mark and not one of those bastards.
Yeah, he's Debbie's son, not Nolan's. You know, it's we don't kill, and that's the principle that he's got to try and live by, especially now that he's a role model to his older brother.
Yeah,
to his younger brother.
Yeah, younger brother. And as we've said a million times before, we love Debbie. Like, come on.
We really do. Debbie's always just the best. It was interesting to see Debbie hiding away with Paul during the Invincible War. I'm glad that she found a safe place to lay low. And I'm glad that she got out of her house before one of those variants showed up, because we did see one show up at the house later in the episode and kind of give me a little bit of a scare.
You wanted to kill her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Exactly. That made me worried.
Was that the variant that wanted to bring Debbie back to his own universe?
No. I think it was Mohawk Mark.
Oh, that's unfortunate.
Yeah. And Mohawk Mark was one of the bad ones. I think it was the one with the black mask and the blue eyes that wanted to save Debbie and bring her back. And okay. Then No Mask Invincible wanted to take William.
I mean, think about how ridiculous of a request that is. Just step back for a minute. You have an alternate universe version of your mother, right? Mm-hmm. That's not your mother. She doesn't know you.
Correct.
And still, because you've lost your own mother, you're like, I'm just going to go and find a carbon copy.
Yeah, and presumably killed his own mother, right? Because I think he said not all of us wanted to kill Mom. So that sounds like he still killed her.
Yeah, probably at Nolan's direction.
Yeah, Nolan was like, kill my pet. And then he did it.
Then he did it. And then he said, break it down for me, Mark, or bust it down for me, Mark.
Mark, let me break it down for you.
Oh, fuck. I fucked it up twice, huh?
Yeah.
Should we talk a little bit about Scott Duvall and Powerplex, or did you have anything more to add?
One last thing. Best part of the Invincible War is when No Goggles Invincible absolutely folded Immortal.
Yeah, that was pretty good. He was the one who threw Immortal's head through Duplicate, wasn't he?
What a weird but kind of impressive kill. Like, what the fuck?
That's apparently straight out of the comics, like that page is just pulled straight from there, which is cool.
Yeah, I will say one thing that's different about the comics too. Omnimark was supposed to die. The one with the Omni-Man suit, not the mustache Mark was supposed to die.
I heard about that. I heard about Omnimark, that he was supposed to die, and I wonder what that'll mean for the story, that he's not dead. I'm not convinced that these other Marks are going to be a big part of the story moving forward.
I would say they could be like a mid-season finale, like, type villain, you know? Yeah, I feel like they'd be like a smaller villain, but they'd, I don't know. It depends on how many survive in that, in that alternate universe. You know, if they're there for a while and they have to kill each other to survive, then maybe we only see a few come back. But if the bulk of them stay alive and come back into the show, I feel like they'd be a problem.
And these other Marks don't have the alternate universe Guardians of the Globe to help them, because presumably they're all fucking dead.
Yeah. Yeah. But who knows? Maybe we'll see alternate Omni-Men. I said Omni-Men. I did not say Mans.
Omni-Mans.
Yeah, whatever.
There were a few voice actor reveals in this episode, too.
There were. I was expecting, but not expecting. I think that Jonathan Banks was going to have to be a misdirect.
Yeah, I agree with that. Before we talk about that, though, should we briefly touch on Powerplex? Because he came back this episode.
We should talk about I love Powerplex, dude. He's so goated.
So, in brief, Scott Duvall's appearance in conjunction with Angstrom's return in episode 7 shows us that a small but powerful contingent want nothing more than to take revenge on Mark Grayson.
So I respect the hate, all right? I'm a full-time hater myself, so I get it. But I hope that, as I've been saying all episode, when we see the return of the Stranded Marks, maybe Scott will start to see that our Mark is simply the goat.
Yeah, I would agree with that. And we even saw Scott was able to take out one of these invincible variants, and he was riding pretty high after that.
Yeah, and then Jonathan Banks had to calm him down, and it's just Jesse and Mike again.
It is. It was really funny to see the two of them back on screen. I mean, almost as funny as Jeffrey Dean Morgan and Steven Yeun in the same space once again.
Yeah, that Glenn and Negan rematch is about to go crazy.
It is about to go crazy. And back to Scott for a second. You could kind of understand why he thought he could take on our Invincible after killing the alternate universe version, because, you know, he must have been thinking he was invincible himself after that one.
Yeah, but he is not built like that. He is not built to take on Prime Mark Grayson, right? Like, our Mark is just simply too awesome.
Yeah, I enjoyed that Oliver and Mark worked together to pin him down while he exerted all of his energy, and Oliver was able to withstand the electricity pretty well.
Yeah, I was not expecting that, honestly. I was expecting him to come away at least a bit injured.
Yeah, I wonder. Last episode, during one of the ad breaks, was on my phone watching TikTok, and I saw an interview with a bunch of the actors, and the actor who plays Oliver, his voice is already so deep, so I wonder if they're going to keep him as the voice actor, or if they're going to change between seasons.
Well, I guess it would depend if they do like I don't know how long the break before the next season is, but if it's like a, you know, 3 month or like 6 month time skip, then Oliver would have grown up. I mean, I'm assuming he's starting to slow down in terms of how fast he grows, but in that time, I feel like he'd be a young teenager.
It would be really funny if we come back from the break between season 3 and 4 and Oliver is just physically older than Mark.
Right. I think
I would enjoy that.
I think we'll see like a prepubescent Oliver next, though. I don't think he'll be that old yet, but who knows?
You've had baby Oliver. We had child Oliver. Next season, you're thinking like adolescent Mark or adolescent Oliver.
Mark, Oliver, same thing. Am I right?
Same thing. Both not pure Viltrumites. They're not one of the 50.
Yeah, but I think Mark is going to kick a lot of the 50s ass.
That's true. And in the trailer for next episode, we got an Anissa name drop from Conquest.
Yes. So that's something I wanted to talk about. Conquest does not seem to care about the Viltrumite Empire at all based on that. He seems to just, he wants to fight.
He just wants to put a smackdown on Mark. That's all he really cares about, which, fair enough. Get this guy in a room with Battle Beast. I think the two of them would like each other.
Oh my god, dude, that's exactly what I'm thinking. Like, he is just Battle Beast as Viltrumite. It's that simple.
Seriously, though. Get those two together. Let them have a beer and then fight, and I think that they'll both be happy as a fucking clam.
I think it's insane, though, that Conquest bends the knee to the Viltrumite Emperor, given that he's such, like, a strength above everything guy. What that means to me is that Thrag is kind of crazy.
Yeah, must be even more powerful than Conquest, if Conquest is not just taking the top spot for himself. That is definitely the vibe that I get from the Viltrumites, too, is whoever rules is the strongest. Like, if someone feels that they're stronger than whoever's at the top, they probably have some kind of I challenge you for leadership tradition, you know?
Yeah.
Which is a cool concept for a warrior society.
Yeah. I think it's going to be very interesting moving forward.
Which, speaking of Conquest, Mark Grayson is out of time to prepare for the impending Viltrumite invasion. The introduction of Conquest, who is voiced by none other than Jeffrey Dean Morgan, who plays Negan in The Walking Dead and is also known for his role in Supernatural. And The Boys, you're right. It sets up the final conflict of the season, and it raises the stakes for all of Earth during a really vulnerable moment for our heroes.
Yeah.
What'd you think?
I think that Jeffrey Dean Morgan absolutely killed it. I have seen online people are like, he doesn't sound the way I wanted him to. And it's like, dude, I saw the AI audio clips over the comics. It sounded so awful for what Conquest is supposed to be. I looked it up. Conquest is around 5,000 years old. I think he's well over it too, but you know, about 5K. He's gonna sound like he's old and he's lived through hundreds of thousands of battles, right? Like, it's not just me.
Yeah, I agree. This man is older than Jesus Christ by about 3,000 years.
That's something that cannot be overlooked when we're talking about why he sounds like an old man, which I feel like we shouldn't have to explain. He sounds like an old man because he is, and Jeffrey Dean Morgan understood what he had to do to be Conquest.
I also think part of it is you don't need to have the world's scariest voice when you're the world's scariest person. Like, he can put the fucking beat down on people without sounding like fucking Battle Beast, you know? Like, this is an old man, but he still has his physical prowess to him.
Yeah, we see that he's been through it. He's got a prosthetic arm. He's got that big-ass scar going across his face. And it's also just kind of implied through, like, the way that he carries himself, I guess, that he's definitely, like, a grizzled warrior.
Yeah.
Or veteran, or however you want to put it.
And we talked a little bit about Jonathan Banks being Brit, who's kind of a Captain America analog in this universe.
Yeah.
When it was announced that he was going to be in this season, a lot of people thought that he was going to be Conquest, and so people are reeling with the disappointment of him not being Conquest. I don't know. I feel like I'm in the same boat as you. People need to maybe get over themselves a little bit with this one. I think that Jeffrey Dean Morgan did a fine job in the 30 seconds that we saw him. If you're really going to judge and say he's awful as Conquest, at least give it another episode. At least give it an episode. I wouldn't even consider his appearance last episode to be like a proper introduction.
Yeah, I think that the first line he says, that "stand ready for my arrival, worm," is great, though. What a good way to like set the tone for what's about to happen.
And also the people clowning on that for being a little ridiculous. Like, yeah, it's mustache twirling supervillain behavior. It's meant to be a little bit cringy, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think there's a way to deliver the line "stand ready for my arrival, worm," and have it not be a little bit goofy. It's a comic book. That's kind of the point, right?
Yeah, I enjoy whimsy in my amazing masterpieces of media.
Exactly. This is still a comic book at the end of the day. So a little whimsy, a little joy, a little goofiness. I mean, Think about the line Rexploded.
Oh my God. He says that in the comics, doesn't he? Is that actually real?
Yeah, Robot says that in the comics, yeah.
Oh my God. Because I've seen that, but I didn't know if it was real or not. And I'm not surprised. Because, like I said earlier, Rex would have liked the joke, guys.
Yeah. See, the internet may have gaslit me into thinking that it's real. I believe that it's real in my heart of hearts.
Right.
But if anyone out there listening knows better than me, this is what I wish we had Chase here to confirm or deny whether it was real, because he has read all of the comics. And I'm sure that one is stuck in his brain forever, if it's real. So... next week, we'll have to ask him.
Listen, I love making jokes like that, especially when the character would enjoy it. I gotta go off on a tangent for a split second. Sorry. But I was scrolling through Instagram the other day, and it said, I knew this artist before they exploded. I knew this artist before they exploded. But then it says, guess who I knew before they blew up? And it's a picture of a character from a book that I read the other day. And I didn't need to know that he blew up because I wasn't done with the book yet. So then it just made the ending hurt. But I love shit like that, because he would have laughed his ass off at the joke.
Yeah. What book was it?
Mistborn Era 2, the final book.
I see.
Well, yeah, I was trying not to go into a Brandon Sanderson monologue again.
Yeah. You don't need to say the character's name, but just for anyone out there who gets it.
Yeah, R.I.P. my goat.
R.I.P. What did you think about Britt?
I think he's interesting. I think that he is going to put Powerflex in this place. Again, ironically, recreating that whole Mike and Jesse vibe.
Yeah. I do think it's funny to see how many characters who came from AMC shows are now a part of this. Because, you know, obviously, The Walking Dead was also a Robert Kirkman comic. So it makes sense to have some actors cross over, because maybe Robert Kirkman just really appreciates the work they do. But now we've got a bunch of people who were on, like, Breaking Bad and Better Call Saul, too, which seems to be a theme.
Yeah, it reminds me of, like, how for The Boys we're getting a lot of, like, Supernatural actors.
Yes.
The other brother from Supernatural now will be in the last season, and then their angel friend from Supernatural will also be in the last season, I think. They posted about, like, all of it's like the whole main cast is together again. So that's really cool.
Richard, do we know how long Invincible is supposed to be?
I believe Robert Kirkman said he wants it to run for 8 seasons.
Okay. Do you think that that's actually going to happen? Do you think that we'll get the full 8 seasons?
We better. don't make me start buying the comics. Come on.
No, the only reason I say that is because streaming is so difficult. You know, I feel like shows that are popular get canceled all the time, but we do have the benefit of it being Amazon and not Netflix.
Yeah, I just wish that Amazon would be like, here you go, guys, some more money to work on, like, to have some more time to animate, too, would be great, because I'm not ungrateful about the animation. I think the animators are doing a good job. But I do think that, like, with more funding, it could be better. I understand completely, though, that most of their funding goes to the voice, like, the whole cast, because they have such a star-studded cast. It's honestly insane how many people they've brought in over the last couple of years.
Yeah. It is crazy. I mean, Steven Yeun, who plays Mark, he's a prolific actor in his own right. I mean, I know that you haven't seen Beef and that we've brought it up on the podcast before, but if you want to see something where Steven Yeun has his full acting chops on display and gives the performance of a lifetime, perhaps, Beef is that for him, without a doubt.
What you did was not nice. It's not nice to do that.
That's a great line from Beef.
I love seeing it posted over the season one finale of Invincible, where he's like, you know, Omni-Man just ripped a dude in half. He's, what you did was not nice. That's whiny Mark coming back.
Yeah. We better see some Nolan and Alan in the finale because we haven't seen them in quite a few episodes.
Dude, I'm saying let's see them come back to Earth next episode, like as Conquest packs it up and leaves, or Conquest could die. Who knows?
I think that would be a really interesting resolution to the season, to see Nolan come back to Earth and save it from Conquest in like the final moments of the season.
I wasn't even thinking that. I was just thinking like Mark saves the day, and then they like start panicking because there's more people coming from outer space and they don't know who it is, and it ends up being fucking Omni-Man.
Yeah.
I think that would be an interesting end.
It would be interesting. I do think that if Omni-Man is coming back to Earth, though, he has to do some grand act of heroism as soon as he touches down. Otherwise, all the pitchforks and torches are coming out and he's getting ran out of town.
True. Yeah, maybe he could show up towards the end of the Conquest fight. I'm so excited for tomorrow. You have no idea. You have no idea. I'm sure you're just as excited as me.
No, I actually don't like this show.
Oh, okay. Well, then stop. Don't talk to me. Loser lame wannabe. Yeah.
But yeah, should we take a quick break before we get into our thoughts?
Yeah. That sounds like a great idea.
All right, let's take a quick break.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting.
It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively at a Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.
And we're back. Richard, you want to get straight into your final couple of thoughts on the season, and then we'll talk about some feedback?
Yeah. I only have one thought on this, and it's that the mortal retired, all right? Hell yeah. And then there's, of course, the chance to see a Guardians team led by Marky Mark. Maybe they can be his funky bunch.
Yeah, I am interested to see that. I don't think that Mark is ever actually going to lead the Guardians. But I think that eventually the Guardians are going to fall apart or die, and he's going to feel bad that he didn't do more to help them.
That could happen. I think that he won't be the name of the leader of the Guardians in name, but I think that he will be the leader of the Guardians, like, in spirit, you know?
Yeah. And can we just talk about how beautiful those shots were of, or I guess those scenes were of, all of the Mark variants watching the world burn, and you can see the reflection in their goggles and in their eyes. I thought that was so well done.
Yeah, I thought it was fantastic.
Yeah, that was pretty awesome. This is a note to the animators. You have to give Eve more to do with her powers than making boxes and walls.
Dude, please. She was on some shit. I keep seeing clips of the Adam Eve special. She was on something. Like, she pulled out a buzzsaw. She turned shit into, like, a parachute to keep that one guy away. I still need to watch the Adam Eve special. Don't get mad, but...
Oh, it's fantastic. You're missing out.
I know.
Sure.
I know.
Which, they had a callback to the Adam Eve special. I don't remember... Was it this episode or was it last episode when Adam Eve is in the hospital and Mark is talking to her parents? I think it was this episode, right?
This episode.
Yeah. Okay. Good. I'm not losing my mind. But Eve's mom talks a little bit about how Eve's friend who lived across the street from them, her like childhood friend, died, right?
Yeah.
She was like one of the main characters in the Adam Eve special. She was always hanging out with Eve, and she had a pretty prominent role in that. So having that callback and hearing that she lost her life, it's a little bit sad, for sure. And I'm sorry I'm blanking on the character's name right now. I feel bad.
It's all right.
Other than that, I don't know. Do we want to do feedback first before we talk about felt overall?
Yeah, that's probably a good idea.
Yeah. Let's start off with Zatoichi, who said they did a great job of making each one look individual and did a great job of making them sound slightly individual. I think that Zatoichi is, of course, talking about all of the different marks. And he continues and says, I feel like it's kind of implied that only Mark Prime is good, but I'm not 100% on that. They all take after Dad, but Mark Prime takes after Mom. Thoughts?
Yeah. I think I'm with what Sub-Zero said. I think that Angstrom only picked the bad ones and that there have to be some good ones out there. Granted, I think that there's probably, from what we've seen, there's probably more bad marks than good. But
yeah.
I think that the good marks probably all have that Debbie Lodestone kind of bonding them together.
Yeah, absolutely. And,
and as Sub-Zero said, I'll like read off the whole thing though. Yeah, he said, I'm kind of surprised that the other marks all turned out bad, or maybe Angstrom picked the bad ones. And I fully agree that Angstrom only picked the bad ones. There's no way that those are all, or that that's all Mark does across the multiverse.
Yeah. And then Jean, who is a affiliate of the network as well, or co-host of the Lorehounds Network, and is over on Comics Versus on the main Lorehounds feed with Alicia. They just talked about the new season of Daredevil a little bit, so make sure you go check that out. Jean says, it's war and wow. That needle drop in this episode, holy shit, all kinds of feels. And I could not agree more, and I'm glad that we talked a little bit about that earlier, but just anytime Billie Eilish's music is included in anything, I feel like it's always done in a way that's so fitting. Like, thinking back to the True Detective season 4 theme song, it was the Billie Eilish song Bury a Friend, and that was really, it was very fitting for that show. So
right, I always love some good like music drops in shows, and I think that in this show they really mastered it. My favorite example of music in Invincible has got to be Karma Police. They just did a phenomenal job putting that in. And I know me and Chase were talking at length about Radiohead the one day.
Yeah.
About that. Yeah.
And I was taking extensive notes on your Radiohead conversation.
Yes. I still got to listen to some of those songs. I just haven't been listening to a lot of music. Too much Audible.
Too much Audible. I've been listening to a lot of podcasts lately, so I haven't been on my music shit.
Yeah, I get that.
In terms of feedback, that's pretty much all we have. I know Chase was talking in the Discord a little bit, and he just kind of was agreeing with what people were saying, and I know he made some comments on the points about Mark taking after his mother rather than his father, and that being the deciding factor for him, so I'm interested to hear what he's got going on in terms of his thoughts next week. But Richard, anything else to say before you let us know how you felt overall about the episode?
Not really. I mean, I have one last thing to say, but it's in my like wrap up part.
All right.
But so, you know, you're listed as the first one for the wrap up. I'm just saying. Seems like you gotta go first, bud.
Sounds good. I'll obey the outline.
Yeah.
So I thought this episode was really great. My only gripe with it was that I'm not quite sure that I really care too much about Angstrom anymore. The whole plot line where he's now being held hostage or as a slave to these,
I guess we just call them the Cybermen.
Yeah, the surgeons. Yeah, I just feel like they need to start wrapping things up a little bit. And I was fine when he was an antagonist to Mark. But now with all the conquest stuff happening, I feel that we should definitely be making space for something else. Or there are just more interesting villains that I'd like to see more out of. I want to see some more happen on the criminal underworld side with Titan and whatnot. So we'll see. Yeah. The Mark variants were also really interesting, and now I kind of feel that I've got a solid idea of how Invincible turns out when he favors his dad instead of his mom. And again, the animators, you gotta let Eve use her powers for more than pink walls.
Yeah,
it's really ridiculous at this point. We know she can do more. She was literally like dancing around and doing all sorts of crazy shit in the Adam Eve special. So,
yeah, I think that this coming episode is gonna have. She's got to do some crazy shit against Conquest. Like, come on, please, yeah. Game, not game.
Yeah, do more than. I mean, I guess we saw her turn into a wrecking ball the other week, but that was brief.
Yeah, but I want to see her whip out like a buzzsaw again, or just make a giant pink mech. Like, come on.
True.
It'd be pretty cool.
Yeah. I can't wait for Conquest to wreak havoc on our Mark. Solid 8.5 out of 10 for this episode. I think that this show is really ramping up. And yeah. It was a fun episode for me. I can't lie. I watched this one and was entertained the whole way through. So nothing but praise.
I feel like I blinked and it was over. It felt like it went by so fast because it was just so... It was just nonstop action and cool shit going on. I don't know how else to put it.
Yeah, and people have been hyping up the Invincible War basically since this show started, and I feel like it didn't disappoint me.
Yeah, I'm hoping that we get to see what happens to the Stranded Marks, but other than that, I have nothing else to really say about the Invincible War. It was awesome. Yeah, I think this is my favorite episode of the season, and it's in my top three for the show, rivaled by the season one finale and the season two, like, mid-season finale with, like, that took place on Thraxa. And Steven Yeun, all right, let me just... This guy was so goated in this episode, giving each variant a unique personality, kind of helped to build a rapport with each one, even though we didn't really have that much screen time with each individual Mark. They still felt like their own characters with their own stories to them. And I think that is really hard to do given that we only saw each Mark for a couple of minutes, on their own, but shit, he did a great job with it. And seeing Mark have his morals tested by not only Angstrom, but also Oliver, when he could have killed Angstrom, really made, I thought it was a captivating scene, and I put this episode at a solid 9 out of 10.
Yeah, I agree with that. Even though I ranked mine a little bit lower, I'm not mad at that 9 out of 10 that you gave it. I feel like that's a fair assessment of this episode.
Yeah, I feel like there's, I don't know, I love this episode like shit. I think that this season, though, has been probably the best season so far.
Yeah, I would agree. And this feels like the end of the season, and then you realize we've still got one more to go, and it's going to be even crazier.
Yeah.
So I'm excited. I can't wait for next week, or I guess tomorrow, because we're recording this on Wednesday, March 12th, and there's a good chance you're going to be listening to it on Wednesday, March 12th, because I'm editing this podcast and getting it out today.
Awesome move.
Keep in line with the schedule. So if you're listening right on release day, let's all pray that tomorrow's episode is going to be fire. I'm excited.
Yeah, the urge to stay up and watch it at 3 a.m. is, it's strong, dude.
There's nothing that could get me to stay up till 3 a.m. to watch a show. Like, I respect the hustle, but I would rather get up at like 8 a.m. to watch it than
We live different lives. we do live different lives. I work till midnight. I feel like that's what makes me okay with, or what would make me okay with, staying up that late.
That's fair. Yeah, I'm not used to the late nights. I'm in bed by like midnight, so.
Yeah, I'm trying to switch my schedule by the summertime, so we'll actually be able to have like more consistent recording schedule that works better for all three of us once that happens.
Nice. Yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I'm hoping that I can get Nocturne out this week as well, both parts.
Oh, you guys did do the second part?
Yeah, the second part has been recorded. The first part has been recorded for a while, and I just haven't edited it. So I'm hoping that I get that out this week. That's my dream.
We've been busy, though, so I get it.
Yeah, just a bit. So, Richard, shall we start wrapping things up for today?
Yeah, I think that's pretty much all we got. Thanks, everyone, for joining us. We appreciate your support. And, you know, let us know what you think before tomorrow, before really ramps up to the max. Join us in a week or so for the season 3 finale.
Yeah,
at least for our coverage of it.
Yeah, and again, any feedback you have, since this is the finale, we want to hear from as many folks as possible. Make sure you're sending messages in the Discord. Make sure you email in or direct message us on Discord if that's easier for you. Do what you have to do, but we want to know your thoughts. We want to make sure that the whole community is included in this, because this show has been a lot of fun and the community has been really active for this one, and we're just really grateful for all the support. So thanks, everyone. Before we let you guys go, I did want to give a quick shout out to all the other podcasts in the network. First of all, to the ones who make all of this possible, our parent podcast, The Lorehounds. They've got a lot of great coverage going on. They wrapped up their Oscars stuff. They just did a mid-season check-in for The White Lotus, so make sure you go check them out. Also in the network are excellent podcasts like Wolf Shift Dust, who did the Silo Season 2, or did some Silo Season 2 coverage a little while ago, so go check out Alicia and her co-host Luke over there. And also check out Alicia's Star Wars Canon Timeline podcast. Rings and Rituals is on a bit of a hiatus, but they look at the Rings of Power through the lens of everyday rituals. So make sure you go check out Marilyn and her co-host Sarah over there on Rings and Rituals. And go check out Nevermind the Music, the newest affiliate in the network. They've got a lot of great coverage always going on. And also the Severance podcast, because Severance is really big right now. It's got its own feed where the Properly Howard team, who are working on their new season, get together with the folks over from the Lorehounds, and they talk all about the twists, the turns. And I don't have my hype man for Severance here today, Chase, to back me up on how good this show is. So you'll just have to take my word for it, since Richard is a bum and hasn't watched it.
I'm getting there. I need to finish Dexter first, dude. I'm dexting it. Don't you understand?
Well, you should be hell yarring it. But anyways,
I don't know what that means. So
all of these shows, links to all of these shows, it's going to be right in the show notes, as well as information on how to get a hold of us. If you're interested in our Patreon, that's going to be there too. You can also join the Patreon for free. Thank you all for listening, and we really hope that you'll be back with us next week for our final meeting of the season. Of the Devi
Final
fan
meeting
club.
Of the Devi fan club. That is what we are. I mean, Debbie Grayson is the GOAT.
Always our GOAT. And yeah, so hopefully we'll all be back for next episode. And thank you for joining us. We'll see you soon.
Mark, I was listening to Paramore the other day, and it really made me think about the amygdala and the limbic system.
You just made those words up, didn't you?
What, Paramore?
We're the Nevermind the Music podcast, where one musician
and one psychologist
talk songwriting and the mind, one song at a time.
We'll hear everything from Green Day and Outkast
to Stevie Wonder and Dua Lipa.
And we mostly try to stay on topic.
Except for when we don't want to.
Nevermind the Music, wherever you get your podcasts.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my side softer?
Can I make my side firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side. Your Sleep Number setting.
It's the Sleep Number Everything Smart Bed Sale. Every smart bed and base are on sale during our Memorial Day event. Up to 50% off, plus free home delivery. Limited time. Exclusively to Sleep Number store near you. Learn more at sleepnumber.com.